Well, good morning. You know, one of the questions I get asked a lot is, Daryl, I see here that you're the executive pastor. What do you do? What is that? That sounds kind of, I'm not sure I understand, but I get asked that a lot. But even more so, my wife gets asked that. People come up to her and say, you know, what's your husband do? Oh, he's a pastor at the chapel, and what does he do there? Well, he kind of, and she gets asked it so much, she just starts making stuff up. Because I get involved in so many things and doing this and doing that, that she just starts making, he's designing a new baptistry with a slide. People talk, a little too much, and you're not sure you're going to get them under the water, so you just push them on the slide, poof, they're right in. But seriously, I do get asked that question a lot, and so I'm sitting here thinking, well, what exactly do I find myself doing, And one of the things is, if I could just sum it up, I keep the chapel or help keep the chapel running. I help keep us on the mission and keep the mission advancing. And for those of you that know me, I keep a lot of coffee flowing. I drink a lot of coffee. I keep the staff or help keep the staff leading, and I keep our partners, our ministry partners, cranking along on their mission as well, whether they're partners locally, nationally, regionally, or even internationally. And the last but not least, I help keep Pastor Jerry smiling, so that's very important, right? And so I get involved in a lot of things, been blessed to be a part of the ministry here. And about a week and a half ago, actually, Pastor Jerry and I were on an airplane, and we were heading to Chicago, and we're actually heading there to see Scott Chapman, who was here last week. And it was really great to have him here. So if you were here, you got to hear from him, and it was just a blessing to have him here. And so as Pastor Jerry and I were heading to Chicago to spend some time with Scott and his staff team there, Pastor Jerry just said, we're wrapping up this series of faith, and I'm going to be gone on vacation, and, do you think you want to help close out this series? And this little overachieving voice in me said, yeah, sure, I'll do it, And so I've jumped at the chance, and so later that night, I'm in the hotel room, and I'm going, Daryl, what were you thinking? I mean, faith is something that you just can't talk about and not demonstrate, right? It's like the guy who you go someplace, or you're in a seminar, and he's up there, and he's like, okay, class, today the topic, we're talking about excitement today. Yeah, that's going to be, yeah. It's not like that, right? You got to have some faith. And so I don't know the amount of faith that you had today to come. Might have been a little, might have been a lot. But to borrow a phrase from George Bailey, faith comes in pretty handy up here, bub. It just does. And so to stand up here, to sit up here, to talk about the things of God requires faith. And each of you need to know that each of you have been prayed for individually today, specifically, that this message, this time, has been bathed with prayer by many, many people this week, praying about what God is going to say to you, praying about what you're going to hear from God, praying about your circumstances. And so faith is active. Faith is here with us. And so I don't want us to forget that. And so as we close out this series today, we're going to look at faith from three different dimensions. The first dimension is, what does faith look like? You're going to get a great picture here in just a moment of what does faith look like. Then we're going to talk about, what does faith do? What does it do? Because it does do some things. And then we're going to finish with, what does faith produce? So we're going to see, what does faith look like? What does faith do? And then what does it produce? And I know, I get it. I mean, it's summer and people gone, doing this and doing that. But I thank you for your faithfulness and being here today. But some of you may have missed some of the previous sermons. And so what we're going to do right now is just watch a real brief, just video recap of some of the previous sermons in this series. So take a look on the screens.
What Joseph's bones teach us is this. Is that it reminds us that faith means that our citizenship is in the right place. Here's what that means, ladies and gentlemen, that though we live in this world, we are not of this world. We are different still. And our faith causes us to be detached from the world and to be rooted to where our citizenship is, our citizenship in heaven with God. I know people in this body of believers who have gone through tremendously difficult times in their lives. And we'll say, hey, would you mind talking with them? Sure, what's going on? What's happening in your life? And they start to tell them, and they're like, that's what happened to us. They borrow their faith because they'll look at them and say, God has walked us through. God has been faithful. God has given us grace. And guess what? I know you've got nothing right now. We will walk with you. You know what you are? Listen, you are Joseph's bones to them. You have become Joseph's bones for them. You better hold on to the reality of the promise that Jesus made when he said, I'm coming back for you. Because when he does, the hope, ladies and gentlemen, is not some disembodied existence forever floating on a cloud. It is the resurrection where you and I get up from the dead and our bones live again.
Stepping outside of our comfort zone isn't easy, is it? See, God always makes us choose. He always makes us let go of what we have, risk it in a sense, in order to be able to receive what only he can give us. He wants us to empty our hands of everything we're holding on to so that he can fill it with what he wants. Peter trusts God's love for him enough to believe that it can overcome his weakness and his sin and his inadequacy. Faith is the eyes to see, the humility to bow, the courage to risk, to step out of the boat, and experience God.
Joseph's bones. That's just a great, great metaphor to think about as it relates to how we can be inspiration and be an example to others. Walking on water. We're going to talk a little bit later today about how you can respond in faith to what God may be saying to you. But as I mentioned earlier, what I want to do now is what does faith look like? Can we get a picture of what faith looks like? And so what we're going to do here in the next few moments is we're actually going to interview some people, some dear people of the chapel who have an interesting faith journey themselves. And from that interview, you're going to be challenged, you're going to be inspired, you're going to learn some things. I know I have, and I'm looking forward to, again, just hearing the story and hearing what God has done and is doing. And so, chapel family, if you would, help me to welcome Dan and Candace Thompson up here. Now, many of you know Dan and Candace, and they are going to be celebrating their 16th wedding anniversary, right, here in just a little bit, yeah? They have four kids, three small boys, so you know what that means at their house. They do a little bit of homeschooling. They're heavily involved in our college ministry, and Candace helps out in our praise as it relates to our women's ministry, so they got a lot going on. So when you go to their house, there's a lot of activity. There's a lot of, it's all happening, all right? But it's great. It's a good thing. But they have an interesting experience that they've walked through here over the last couple of years. Dan, after being employed for and having a great career, found out one day that the job in which he had was being eliminated. And that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of things that just suddenly land when the thing that you depended upon, the thing that was providing for your family is suddenly gone. And there was a period of time in which he then sought out another job, found another job, and that one was eliminated. And so, Dan, why don't you tell us a little bit about, when you first found out that news, how did that land? I mean, how did that make you feel?
Well, I mean, it was a roller coaster of emotions over the period of time that it took to the job was terminated, and the company got bought out and moved on, and there's just a roller coaster of emotions as the time that I was unemployed. At first, I had this pride that I was good at my job, and I'd find a job no problem, kind of like, okay, I got this, God, And then as it went on, there was this deep sense of loss. I had been with this company for 13 years, It was part of my routine. These people were my friends. And all that was gone. And there was a feeling of betrayal and waste. I had sacrificed a lot for this company. Weekends, late nights, family time. And all that was gone. And it just seemed like it was kind of a waste. And then I went through periods of, over that time, I mean, it was 9 months the first time. I mean, there were periods of joy and peace, too. My godly wife convinced us to go on a trip and just embrace that time that we had. I'm an engineer, so emotions don't always compute. So there was times of processing through this stuff and just trying to figure out, were these good emotions, feelings, you know, what do I do with them? So there was a lot of that.
So what in that process can you say now you learned about God?
I mean, there were some fears that I went through, but I mean, what I learned about God was that he's got a plan for me. He wants me to be a man of God, and there's a plan. Even though I didn't understand why this was happening and what was going on, that he had a plan. He had some things that he needed to change in my life to knock off some rough edges to make me into the man of God that he wanted to be. Some of those were the pride, patience. I think he enrolled me in remedial patience class. That was tough because a lot of what I learned, I spent a lot of time, you know, in my driveway looking up at the stars going, what do you want me to learn? And that's what I found in tough times. Ask God, what do you want me to learn? And some of it was just wait. I didn't like that answer, but it was just wait.
Wow.
And then some of it was, you know, I've got things to teach you. I'm not concerned as much about your happiness as you are. I want you to feel joy and peace even when the situation isn't happy. Yeah. And I want you to understand that I care for your family more than you care for your family.
Wow, that's great. So Candace, as the manager of the household and facilitator of all things related to the Thompsons, one of those things is paying the bills, obviously, and just coordinating all that. And so in the middle of this, you know, some things changed, right? I mean, what was is now no longer, and you have an interesting story to share as it relates to how you just went about just the process of prioritization of your resources and how you were faced with basically a test. Can you tell us about that?
Okay, one night I was getting ready to pay the bills, and this is shortly after our severance had run out and things were starting to get a little bit tighter. And I went downstairs late at night. I do most of my stuff around midnight, so I was pretty tired. But so I went down and I went to change all the bills to adjust for our new income level. And one of those things where I set up all our giving automatically. So every missionary that we support and every ministry that we support just automatically gets their checks each month. So I thought, well, I need to adjust these. And I just started feeling really just sad. I didn't want to hurt their ministries or their mission work that they're doing. But I did it, so I changed it. And I went up to bed, and I told Dan, I'm like, I can't sleep. And I'm just laying there and getting more nervous uneasy about it. And I said, I can't do it. And he's like, what? What can't you do? I said, I just changed everything. He goes, well, go change it back then. So I went downstairs, and I put everything back to where it was. And I just said, all right, God, if you want us to keep giving at this level, I said, I'm an accountant. It doesn't make sense. It's not going to happen. And I said, but if you want it to happen, then you've got to take care of it. And that's where I think my strongest test of faith came, that I had to just know that he was going to provide that.
And he did.
And he did in so many different ways. We had so many friends and family reach out to help us in a lot of different ways that surprised me. And it was humbling to have to accept at times. But a lot of people were very forceful about it, which was good for us because it made us learn to accept help from other people. And God honored that. And we kept it where it was that whole time, the first time around.
Excellent. Well, as we close here, one last question. You know, having, you know, the things that you've spoken to would probably be things that prior you would say, oh, I know that, I understood that, or I'd read that, or, you know, somebody taught me that at some point in time. But you've lived something now, and so what today can you say without a shadow of a doubt as it relates to the faithfulness and character of God? What is that?
Well, I would say the biggest thing for me was when those times come, I already had that time with God that I talked with him by praying and I heard from him by reading his word. And without that time had already being established, I don't know if his peace would have been quite as consistent. Like, we felt like we just went into it. We were already prepared with our relationship with him. So that's the biggest thing I would want people to understand and to hear today from us, that God's character is that he is faithful and he is true and what he says is true, and that you just need to have that personal relationship with him today so that you'll hear that.
Thank you.
I think for me it was learning to live open-handed, just not holding on to anything, just understanding that he gave it all, he's got a plan, and let him use it as he sees fit, to live surrendered with everything you have, whether it's your job, your finances. I remember a lot of times, you know, praying, I would have to physically lift my hands up and say, my kids, they're yours. My job, it's yours. My finances, they're yours. You planned it. You created the world. You love me more than I can even comprehend. And then just understanding and living out my faith, my identity, my security, our security, our family is dependent on knowing, understanding, and acting on that, the belief that God is who he says he is, and he's going to do the same things that he said he's going to do, and diving into his word and just living that out day by day, and being able to use what he's taken us through to be able to relate to people around us. This is another, as a minister of God and as to be used by God, he's put this in our life so that we can share with other people and understand what people are going through. Before, I could never understand what people were going through in joblessness, but boy, do I understand now. And when I hear it, I hate to hear that people are going through this, because it's painful, it's hard to understand. Especially for guys, there's a lot of emotions that you don't get, and you have to really take those to God and let him take over. And he's been faithful. Both times he's brought us jobs better than I thought we were going to get. We didn't know if we were going to have to move, and just surrendering those things. The Bible's a lot about remembering what God has done in the past. And so that made the second time a little bit easier, because he blessed us so well in the first time, but it was still hard to go through, but he comes through, and it's amazing. He provided me with a great job again, and I'm just thankful for so many of the people around us and the family of God and godly counsel that I have to fight through this stuff and to make the right decisions.
All right, well, thank you so much, Temple family. Let's hear it for Dan and Candace. That was a great story. Great story. Thank you, guys. Thank you. You know, one thing that we've learned in this series, and Pastor Jerry spoke about this, and typically when you hear messages about faith, you know, people will turn to Hebrews 11:6. And in Hebrews 11:6, you know, this is what God's word says. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so when you look at the scenario that we just talked about here, there's another portion of Scripture that I want us to look at. And that is the psalmist here understood. The psalmist understood life and knew that life has opportunities for us to express and demonstrate and grow our faith. And so in Psalm 37, here's what the psalmist says. If the Lord delights in a man's way, and how do we know? How do we delight? How do we please God? With faith. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall. And what it's talking about here, falling, is falling headlong, falling hard, and being hurt. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. It's not if. It's more when. When are we going to stumble? You today, you might be sitting here today. You might be stumbling. You might have stumbled. There may be something that you're facing today that you've been in for a while, and you're like, man, there's nobody holding me up. I don't feel like God's around. But I'll tell you this. There's good news. God is not dead. He is alive. The God that created you, created me, created all that we know. Isaiah 44:24, he is alive. Hebrews 1:3, he overcame death. He is sitting on the right hand of God the Father. Everything was created in him, for him, through him, and in things he holds all things together. Colossians 1:16-17. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says he is faithful. Psalm 121:4 says he doesn't sleep and he doesn't slumber. He doesn't take a day off. Psalm 33:4 says everything he does is faithful. Psalm 119:68, he is good and everything that he does is good. We should never doubt. So if you're in a place where the world is telling you, hey, look at your circumstances, God isn't going to show up, he is there. His word tells us, testimony of others tells us, God is faithful. And the point for us from this story is this: faith works. Faith works even when we can't. When we're at the end and we're done, guess what? Faith works. Faith continues to work because of who it is in, the one who is faithful, the one who doesn't sleep or slumber. Faith works even though we can't.
Standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory is your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Stand with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory is your power. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. You are
church.
God is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. We just need to believe that. And right now I want to ask Ben and Mallory Ryman to come up here, and we're going to hear a little bit about their incredible story. They're from Lockport, so let's give it up for them. Thank you for coming. My hometown. So, and even though they're young, and even though they've only been married 2 years, they've gone through some things that demonstrate the beauty, the grace and mercy of God. Soon after they got married, Mallory became pregnant, but within a handful of weeks, she lost that baby. Then a little bit after that, she got pregnant again. And 6 months into that pregnancy, something happened to Judah. Mallory, why don't you tell us about what happened to Judah?
Yeah, I was pregnant for about 6.5 months, and I did not feel movement for a couple days. So, you know, I just kind of thought it was just, you know, okay. And so I went to the doctors just to make sure. I didn't even mention it to Ben. He knew that I didn't feel movement, but we really thought everything would be fine. So I went into the doctors, and there was no heartbeat. And so from there, I went into the sonogram room, and I was trying to get a hold of my husband, and he was at work. He just started a new job, so I finally got a hold of him and was able to just tell him briefly what had happened, and I was in there on my own in the sonogram room, and just saw that, you know, the baby had died, and we found out that it was a boy, and it was really heartbreaking, honestly, so.
Wow, and you know, obviously you went through just a whole bunch of fear and angst and were scared. And then when the realization and some of that started settling in, you know, I can only imagine the dark place that you had to walk through. And what were some of the things as you walked through that you relied upon to get you through that difficulty?
Well, it was really hard. And I questioned God a lot. And I questioned really just God's purpose in it all. And the one thing that we went from the sonogram room and we went directly to the hospital, and I began to get induced. And 36 hours later, I delivered our son. And I guess seeing him was the most fearful thing. We didn't know what to expect. We didn't want to hold him. We didn't want to touch him. We didn't want to see him. We were so scared. And the one nurse that had brought him over to us, she was wonderful. And she, when she put him in my arms, she said, you know, he's beautiful. And when we looked down at him, he was gorgeous. There was nothing wrong with him. He was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And when I was holding him at the exact same time, I was just like, you know, when God gave me an image, and it was at the exact same time that I was holding him, Jesus was holding him as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, going home was really hard at the same time, because you're going home empty-handed. Mm-hmm. You're going home without your baby, and you're leaving your baby there. And but the one night, I had a lot of meltdowns, and my husband, my amazing husband, he mm-hmm. said, you know, I was in the bathroom the one night, and I was just sobbing. And he said, you know, Mal, Judah is being loved now more by God in heaven than we could have ever as his parents loved him here on earth. And that was just comfort to my heart. Mm. So,
wow, that's great. That's just a great story of overcoming and walking through something with faith, as difficult as that was. And Ben, as a father and as husband, you know, you obviously had to go through this as well, albeit from a different perspective, but nonetheless, you still had to walk through this. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you had to go through this, and then also how did you help your wife go through that?
Yeah, thanks, Daryl. Yeah, it was, for me, it was different. It was a very difficult time, but of course, you know, I wasn't going through exactly the same thing Mel was. At least not physically, but I'll never forget what happened last fall. You know, I was, like Mallory had mentioned, I was at work, and I had received a call, and one of my coworkers told me that I had to call my wife right away because there was some kind of family emergency, and I had no idea what that could have meant, and you know, I had no idea. I was scared, and I finally got a hold of her, and she told me what had happened, and it was so difficult to hear that. But I remember that there were two things that I found out that morning. First, that we had lost our baby, and that also that we were having a boy. We didn't even know we were going to be surprised. And so, if you can just imagine the mix of emotions, like Dan had mentioned, going from being you know, the anticipation and the anxiety of being a soon to be parent to you know, facing the sorrow of losing our son, and really just the fear of what would happen next, and how I would be there to support Mal through it. You know, when I look back on it now, you know, I think there's really nothing that I could have done to prepare for that. There's really you know, we were a newlywed couple. You know, we've never even had children yet, and just going through that whole experience, there's really nothing that we could have done to prepare. But I just am so thankful to the Lord that He gave us the ability. He gave me the ability to just trust in Him, and really the only thing I could do was be there for her, and to react the way that Jesus would react with love and compassion. And that's really the thing that I clung to, and I'm thankful to the Lord that He gave me the ability to do that.
Great. Well, now having been through that, and just so you know, as a part of their journey, they are in the process of pursuing becoming certified foster parents as well. And you can tell by Mallory that she is expecting again and is due just in like a month, right? Yeah. And 7 weeks, 7 weeks. Okay. And so before we say goodbye to Ben and Mallory, what I wanted to do is just get from them just the one thing that you now look back on, having walked through that. What can you say without a shadow of a doubt about the character and faithfulness of God? What's that one thing?
Well, I can definitely say that, you know, through this difficulty, it was a very difficult time. You know, there's no way around that. It was hard. But I know for sure, that we both know for sure, that it's not God's heart to bring misery into your life. It's not God's heart to bring suffering. The trials are there for a reason, and you learn through it. But for every difficult time that we face through this, we can both point to so many blessings that the Lord has given to us in so many different ways. And on top of that, we've had so many opportunities to talk to other people. Male especially has had so many opportunities to talk to other women who have been going through similar situations. And, you know, going from having no experience in this, she, you know, now having gone through it, she's been able to encourage so many other women. And it's just a blessing to see that happen. And like Daryl had mentioned, you know, we have another baby on the way. And that's the most obvious and awesome hope that we have now. Seeing how the Lord has brought us out, you know, from what had happened a year ago, and with so much hope, and we're just so thankful for that.
How about you, Mallory?
Yeah, you know, God always gave me a verse, and you know, I'm sure a lot of you know it's just Proverbs 3:5-6, and it's trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And you know, going into this, I didn't understand, and I just didn't understand why we were going through this. You know, we were faithful before we got married. We were, you know, and throughout our marriage, we were honoring God and doing everything we could. But, you know, that verse just means that we don't need to understand, and we just really need to trust in Him and trust in Him to really lead us and guide us and really carry us through our difficult circumstances. And I know that we would have never gotten through it without Christ as at the center of our marriage and at the, you know, just the center of our lives. And without Him, we just would have we would have fallen. And, you know, after losing, you know, it was our second baby, and, you know, you just start to wonder, what are you doing, God? But really just trusting in him through the trials and the tribulations and the hurt and the pain. So,
thank you so much. Chapel family, say thank you for Ben and Mallory for sharing with us a little bit of their story. We appreciate that so very much. Thank you, guys. You know, life has loss built into it. Everyone in this room, you know it. If you've lived, you've experienced loss. Maybe not the same as Ben and Mallory, but you've experienced it. You've experienced loss in your life. And how do we deal with that? What happens as followers of God? What happens as people when we have loss in our life? Either loss that has happened years gone by, or loss that is happening now. Or it might even be loss that you're in fear of. The Apostle Paul understood this. He understood that life, you know what? Life is hard. And he understood that faith relates to life, and that faith speaks into this sense of loss. And so what I want to do is turn to Romans chapter 5, 1 through 5, and let's see what Paul has to say here about life and loss and how faith inserts itself in the middle of that. So pick up with me, Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, that is, we have been made right before God through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by what? By faith into this grace in which we now stand. And the stand here, stand firm. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings or trials or troubles that may come our way, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope, this hope does not disappoint. It does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. And so what we see here is that faith, God's gift to us, faith is one of the most valuable things that we have. God's word says it is, when it's tested and genuine, it is worth more than gold. Which is saying a lot today, given it's $1,600 an ounce. Your faith is valuable, and God has given us the ability to have faith to fill the vacuum, that void left by loss. And so the point for us from the story that we heard is that faith gives birth to real hope. Faith always gives birth to real hope. Can't forget that. When we have faith, it's going to give birth to real hope. Why? Because God is the one in whom we have our faith, and he is the source of our hope. Faith gives birth to real hope. So I started off today, and I said we were going to look at faith from a couple of different angles, right? What does it look like? Well, we've seen two pictures here of what faith looks like. And the second aspect I was going to talk about is, what does faith do? What does it do? Well, let's turn to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, beginning in verse 22. And here's what Scripture says about what faith does. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. So what does hope do? Well, it comes from faith, but faith always allows us to get closer to God. Faith always will take you closer to God, wherever you're at. If you're like saying, Daryl, you know, I've been a believer, follower of God. I've had a faith in Christ for a long time. You can still get closer to God. If you exercise more faith today, you know what? Your faith will take you closer to God. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are a long ways away from God. If you exercise faith, you're going to take a huge step in getting closer to God. What Scripture is telling us here is that faith takes us closer to God. That's what it does. It brings us closer to God. So the third aspect that we talked about, well, what does faith produce? We've seen what it looks like. We now know what it does. When we exercise our faith, we get closer to God. But what does it produce? What does faith produce? So let's look in 1 Peter, first chapter, third verse. Praise be to God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because Jesus Christ has risen from the grave and conquered death, and when we put our faith and trust in Him, because of that, we have the opportunity to be born into a living hope. So what does faith produce? A living hope. Why? Christ is alive. God is alive. He has overcome death. And because He is alive, when we put our faith and trust in Him, the hope that comes from that, it's alive. And not only is it alive, it can grow. How do we feed it? We feed it with faith. There's so many of us, because of our life and because of decisions and things, and we can look back at our life and say, well, I put my faith and trust in Christ years ago. But what's happening today? Maybe not much. Where's your living hope today? I don't know. We need to put faith in action. And when we put faith in action, what happens? We get closer to God. And when we get closer to God, the closer we are to God, guess what? Our hope grows. The closer to God we become, the bigger the hope in our heart grows. And so the last point for us here this morning is this, is that faith always moves us closer to God, resulting in a living hope. Faith always moves us closer to God. It's always going to move us closer to God, wherever you're at. And so as we close here this morning, I'm going to ask you to do three things. I'm going to ask us all to do these three things. And we're going to have time. I'm going to give you just a few minutes to do this as we close here today. But what I want you to do is this. In the prayer time here in just a moment, it's going to be quiet. And I'm going to ask you to do three things before God. The first thing is this, is just acknowledge, just be honest with God. Just be honest with God where you're at today. God, man, I've been slugging it out with my faith. I'm in some circumstances. I'm in a mess. I don't know what to do. I'm at the end of my rope. Or God, you know what? My faith hasn't been really challenged. My faith, I'm not sure I can really point to it. It's not much going on there. Or you might be sitting here today and say, you know what, God, I'm still a skeptic. I'm still trying to figure out whether this whole God thing is for me and if you're real or not. But I would just ask you to do this here in just a moment. Just be honest before God. Wherever you are at, wherever that is, just be honest with God. The second thing I would ask you to do is just exercise a little bit of faith and to say, God, would you meet me here where I'm at? Would you meet me in this place? I need to hear from you. Would you meet me now? And the third thing I would ask you to do is listen. listen to what he has to say specifically to you. And then just do it. So, in just a moment, I want you to just be honest before God. God, here's where I'm at. Here's where I'm at. God, would you meet me now? Would you meet me now? And I want you to listen. So if you would bow your heads. Take a few minutes. Do those three things. Do those three things, and I'll close us in prayer. And then we'll be out of here. With your heads still bowed and eyes still closed, some of you still may be praying and talking, continue to do so. But let me just say this, is that whatever God has spoken to you today, whatever he has said to you, whatever he has spoken to you as it relates to your faith, I would encourage you to step out of the boat, to do what God has called you to do, whatever that is. And as the Apostle Paul prayed for the church at Rome, I want us to hear that same prayer. I want us to take that same prayer home with us today. And it is this, found in Romans 15, 13. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May that be our prayer today.